Good evening, everybody. You're tuned to 103.2 Dublin City FM, and this is Europe Today with your presenter for this week, John Byrne. Coming up over the next half an hour, we'll have a rundown on some of the stories of European interest that have been making the headlines here in Ireland. We'll be hearing from some of our Irish MEPs and their current concerns, and we'll have some great music from Belgium and Bulgaria for your enjoyment as well. So stay tuned to us here on 103.2 Dublin City FM for the next half an hour and your programme, Europe Today. The President of the European Council has called on Russia to take concrete and tangible steps to de-escalate its military build-up around the Ukraine. Charles Michel made the plea during a debate on EU-Russian relations in the European Parliament recently. He told MEPs countless diplomatic efforts have been made with Russia to reduce the tensions.
Russia has undertaken an unprecedented military escalation against Ukraine. The Russian authorities have repeatedly said they have no aggressive intentions towards this sovereign country, and this despite already annexing part of Ukrainian territory, Crimea, in 2014, and constantly undermining Ukraine's sovereignty, especially in eastern Ukraine. Encircling a country with an extraordinary deployment of military forces, never seen before, can only be seen as aggressive and threatening behavior. This escalation not only endangers the stability and integrity of Ukraine, it also threatens peace and security in Europe and the rules-based international system. We, the EU, NATO allies, member states, are working together at every level on a daily basis, consulting politically and acting together. We are working at a level of intensity and quality that we have not seen for years. Our unity is stronger than ever. And we have adopted a strong and clear strategy in three areas. First, diplomacy. We have chosen to give every opportunity to the diplomatic route. European and American leaders have undertaken countless diplomatic initiatives and missions. We have activated negotiating platforms for dialogue with Russia, such as NATO, the OSCE, or the Normandy format. And I would like to commend Olaf Scholz and Emmanuel Macron for their important role. We have never stopped giving priority to diplomatic channels, even when these efforts did not seem to produce immediate tangible results. Yet, in the last 2 days, Russia has signaled that it may be open to diplomacy, and we urge Russia to take concrete and tangible steps towards de-escalation, because this is the condition for sincere political dialogue. We cannot eternally attempt diplomacy on one side while the other side is amassing troops.
The COVID pandemic has impacted significantly on cancer care in the EU. It's led to delays in screening and early diagnosis and the postponement of treatments and surgeries. That's according to the EU Commissioner for Health and Food Safety. Stella Kyriakides made the comments recently during a debate in the European Parliament on a range of proposals to tackle cancer.
We know that an estimated 100 million cases may have not been diagnosed in the last 2 years. And 100 million cancer screening tests may have been postponed or not carried out. And this has an important impact on patients and their families. And in our plan, we are addressing this. We're looking at how telemedicine can be used, and we need to have contingency plans for the future.
New road charging rules for heavy goods vehicles in the EU will impact Irish road hauliers. That's according to Green Party MEP Ciarán Cuff. The European Parliament has just approved new distance-based road charging rules for heavy goods vehicles, which MEPs say will help reduce CO2 emissions. The aim of the new rules is to move road charging from a time-based model to distance-based. or an actual kilometres driven system to better reflect the polluter pays and user pays principles. They will apply to heavy goods vehicles using trans-European transport network roads. Kieran Cuff explains how it will affect lorry drivers travelling to and from Ireland.
If a truck is going from Ireland by sea to France or through the UK to mainland Europe, particularly if it's going towards central Europe, it will certainly dictate the route it takes, or it will provide an incentive to take the container off the back of the truck and put it on a train for much of its journey. It's about the polluter pays principle, and if it's done right, it'll reduce the amount of smoky trucks going through narrow alpine passes and causing health problems for people who live nearby. And if we implement this at a European level, it'll put these trucks either onto the roads that are built for them, or it'll lead to a shift to rail.
Online platforms should have a responsibility to toy safety, says Billy Kelleher. European retailers and regulators regularly spot and report faults to the EU Rapid Alert System. Out of more than 2,000 alert notifications sent out in 2020, the largest number of warnings, nearly one-third, were about dangerous toys. But those dangers may be missed in toys bought online directly from other parts of the world. Now the European Parliament is calling for EU safety rules to apply globally, as Fianna Fáil MEP Billy Kelleher explains.
The challenge now, of course, is that when people are buying online and they are literally being posted to their house, it does circumvent the ability of the European Union to ensure that every product coming in to the EU is of a set standard. Online platforms will have to have an obligation, in my view, to ensure that that is the case. It's very evident that a lot of toys are not reaching the safety standards that are obligated if they were manufactured in the European Union. When you have a major increase in online purchasing of toys from outside the European Union, invariably you're going to see a drop in standards. And of course, this is of critical importance in the area of child safety, ensuring that product is safe for the age appropriateness, and also for fire resistance as well, and fire retardants.
A report by the European Parliament has called for easier access to medical treatment abroad. In 2020, more than 3,000 Irish people were reimbursed for treatment in another EU country. Most went to the UK before the end of the Brexit transition period. Britain is no longer part of the scheme. An agreement with Northern Ireland is set to run out at the end of this year. A final report by the European Parliament's Cancer Committee concludes that EU cross-border treatment should be made more straightforward. Fine Gael MEP Deirdre Clune has been involved in the drafting of the recommendations. She says Ireland should be making the most of medical facilities across Europe.
It is difficult for people. Can they access this programme? Are they aware of it? Are their doctors, are their consultants, are their physicians, are they aware of it? There is a lack of awareness. So we want more cooperation in this whole area, make it more accessible. Because, you know, from an Irish point of view, a small country, we don't always have the services. It works really well. More needs to be done to make it more accessible, like going to France, Netherlands, or wherever.
Ireland's Sinn Féin MEP does not now expect problems over the Northern Ireland Protocol to be resolved before the Assembly elections in May. The UK and the EU continue to disagree about key issues, such as the level of checks needed on goods coming into Northern Ireland from Britain. Officials have been working to find a middle way before electioneering gets underway. Sinn Féin MEP Chris McManus says he believes the arguments will have to be put on hold until the summer.
The discussions between the EU and the British government are probably going to go into abeyance out of recognition for the Assembly elections coming up in the north, and already we're beginning to see some soft electioneering in that regard. So I think what will happen is that that process of the election will be allowed to go ahead.
The European Parliament this week debated European Commission proposals to continue using the digital COVID cert for travel around the EU until mid next year. Karen Coleman, a Europarl radio editor, spoke to Dublin MEP Barry Andrews about those proposals, and she also asked him what it's like now in Belgium, which had very high COVID rates.
The MEPs and the Commission, you'll be debating the current situation on the intra-EU travel rules and the need for a coordinated approach and proposals to extend the use of the EU digital COVID cert until June 2023. Do you think that is a good idea, that the digital COVID travel cert should continue to be used even if case numbers go down and be in use until June 2023?
Yes, is the very simple answer. I think we're a small island nation that has benefited tremendously from the availability of a COVID certificate, instead of there being 27 different regimes applying in all of the different EU member states. And it acknowledges that vaccination is the strongest defense against the pandemic. And it demonstrates how fast the EU can work sometimes when it needs to. This regulation was put together in a matter of months and was already operational last summer. But we're in a much better position. The sanitary conditions in Ireland are much more positive than they were when this COVID certificate was first made law. And I think this hopefully will be the last extension. And that sunset, June 2023, was built into the regulation because we don't want this to be a character of our lives travelling across borders in the future. But the conditions in certain EU member states at the moment are still fairly precarious, and I think the extension is justified for that reason.
I know you're in France right now, but in Belgium and in Brussels, where you are mostly staying, do you get a sense that things are returning to normal there as well? Because they have had very strict restrictions like ourselves.
Yes, there is definitely signs that Belgium is returning to normal. It had an incredibly high rate of transmission, not as high a level of vaccination as Ireland, but almost no country has the same rate of vaccination as Ireland. But there is definitely a sense of return to normality, and this is, again, is happening across EU member states. While the digital COVID certificate is that positive thing that provides an EU framework for understanding how vaccination is recorded across borders, in fact, there are lots of different regimes still in place in different member states around things like PCR tests, antigen tests, quarantine, and, you know, I would rather that wasn't the case. I think what we need an EU framework across all of the different responses to the pandemic. That's the best way to deal with this. But at the moment, the DCC, you know, is the best we can do for the moment.
Бяхме малки, джобовете прязли, а кръвта ми пълна с тебе. Обещах да си ми първия,
и ти беше първата на мене. А плъзна банала, буквите ни по стените, още са ми пред очите. Времето не е ни промени, и при теб така ли стана, първата любов като стара рана.
Рана имам в сърце, като те погледна, шегна, проба, зрък не се лекува, все за те боли ме, с теб ми се целува.
Рана имам да лекува, чуваш ли, момиче, още боледувам. Помня, рана ми направи, като ме остави, като ме забрави.
Боледувам,
помня, рана ми направи, като ме остави.
znali, czy jeszcze nie zapalisz? Ošte pališ, żerem zel ti je srce, to se šte za eto, šte boli prokleto.
The President of the European Commission says we face the largest build-up of troops on European soil since the darkest days of the Cold War. Ursula von der Leyen made the comments during a debate in the European Parliament recently on Russia's military threat against Ukraine. The EU boss told MEPs the people of Ukraine are bravely trying to get on with their lives. Many of them keep emergency bags by their front doors, she said, in case they have to rush away from home. But Ireland's South MEP Grace O'Sullivan is warning more diplomacy and less talk of war is what's required to reduce tensions between all sides.
What we are seeing in the Green Group and what I'm seeing as a long-time peace activist is that we need to see more constructive and diplomatic language being used in terms of de-escalation of the conflict from both sides, instead of what we're seeing over the last number of weeks, like an escalation of language of war, of weapons, of militarization. This is only escalating the situation.
The Independence for Change MEP Mick Wallace says the NATO military alliance exists to protect Western corporate and military industrial interests. And he says people who want peace in Europe should call for NATO to be abolished. Mr. Wallace made the comments recently during a debate in the European Parliament on Russia's military threat against Ukraine. The Ireland South MEP accused NATO and the US of engaging in warmongering in recent months.
We've had 3 months of this farce now, and the line between the real and the imaginary is blurred. The US and the UK have used our media to flood pages, screens and airwaves with a load of unsubstantiated fear-mongering and lies gleaned from unaccountable, anonymous sources in the intelligence community. This has reached such a pitch that when Ukraine begs the US and NATO to stop creating hysteria and to provide some proof for the supposedly imminent any day now Russian invasion, Ukraine is ignored by the forces that pretend to protect them. The warmongering of NATO and the US these past few months has done nothing for peace in Europe. People who want peace in Europe should be calling for NATO to be abolished.
Billy Kelleher has warned against any knee-jerk interest rate rises. The European Central Bank is trying to steady the economies of the Eurozone at a tricky time. Economists point up to global supply problems, pent-up consumer demand and gas shortages as some of the reasons for rising inflation. The ECB has not ruled out interest rate rises this year. Fianna Fáil MEP Billy Kelleher has been following a debate on the issue in the European Parliament. Speaking from Strasbourg recently, he warned the bank against taking drastic measures.
It certainly wouldn't be helpful to the Irish economy at this stage. And, you know, the geopolitical tensions that are also very evident in the Ukraine are also having a major contributing factor to the price of gas and oil. So, I mean, we don't want to be making very knee-jerk decisions on raising of interest rates based on what could be potentially unwinding itself.
The Russian-Ukraine crisis shows how critical it is for the EU to develop other sources of energy supplies, such as offshore wind farms. That's according to Colin Markey, MEP for the Midlands Northwest constituency. MEPs have been debating a European Parliament report that calls for the rapid development of offshore renewable energy sources, including wind power. The report says a more sustainable management of maritime space and coastlines is needed to unlock their potential. Colin Markey says Europe is too reliant on Russia for gas supplies.
Europe as a whole gets 40% of its natural gas from Russia. So clearly we are very dependent on that. And I think in the overall geopolitical context, this has left Europe in a vulnerable position, both energy-wise, but also politically, because it's harder to play hardball with Russia when you're dependent on Russian gas. So from a geopolitical perspective, I think it's important that we wean ourselves off Russian gas. I think from an Irish perspective, only 1% of our gas comes from Russia, but we do rely from the UK and from Scandinavia for gas. And I suppose it's a knock-on effect. We have potentially 80 gigawatts of offshore wind, which is multiples of our own requirement here in Ireland. So we could potentially deliver all our domestic requirement in terms of electricity, but equally in converting that into hydrogen or using the interconnector to connect to France, we could be exporting that and become a renewable energy superpower in the years ahead.
Broadcasting on 103.2. This is Dublin City FM.
Now you can follow Europe Today on Twitter.
The Ukraine is already suffering and will continue to have a tough time, even if a Russian invasion has been averted. That's according to Sean Kelly. The European Parliament has backed the EU plan to send €1.2 billion in economic aid. Millions of euro is expected to be dispatched quickly once the deal has been signed off. Despite the signals from Moscow that there may now be a de-escalation, Fine Gael MEP Sean Kelly says Ukraine is in a desperate state.
The lack of investment has occurred. The withdrawal of investment and jobs and people and obviously exports into the country all have kind of reduced. So it's going to take some time, even if it's de-escalated and the threat of invasion passes. They're going to have a pretty tough time in Ukraine to recover from it. If they are talking about withdrawing troops, then it's hard to see them on the one hand saying they're going to withdraw troops and the other hand making an imminent attack. So hopefully that is the position, but you'd wonder what really Putin is up to.
News footage of Ukrainian troops conducting combat training near the site of the Chernobyl nuclear disaster is causing concern. Green MEP Grace O'Sullivan says soldiers and members of the National Guard are doing military exercises in nuclear active parts of Chernobyl. The area is where the worst nuclear disaster in history occurred in 1986.
There's a city that was built for the workers around the Chernobyl reactor. It's only a kilometre away. It's abandoned now. But there are reports coming out that there's been live fire training operations by the Ukrainian National Guard troops and war gaming around the empty apartments and libraries and schools in that area. And the big concern is that radioactivity has been locked up in the ground. And if that is disturbed, there could be a huge environmental problem unleashed again and more radiation going into the atmosphere.
The European Commission recently unveiled details of a proposed EU Chips Act, which aims to significantly bolster the production and development of semiconductors in the European Union. Microchips are used in a wide range of products from smartphones, cars and washing machines to healthcare, energy and industrial systems. But the EU is highly dependent on other countries such as Taiwan for their production. And this new act aims to increase Europe's production of microchips to 20% of the global market share by 2030. When announcing details of the new act recently, the President of the European Commission, Ursula von der Leyen, said the global shortage of microchips slowed Europe's economic recovery from the COVID pandemic.
We have seen that whole production lines came to a standstill, for example, with cars. While the demand was increasing, we could not deliver as needed because of the lack of chips. So this European Chips Act comes absolutely at the right time, and it has two main goals. The first goal is in the short term to increase our resilience to future crises by anticipating and thus avoiding supply chain disruptions. And the second part is there to make Europe an industrial leader in this very strategic market.
Gisteren zat ik hier met een vriend. We hadden het over toen ik jou verliet. Al best lang geleden, toch te lang gewacht. We hadden het over je ziel en je kracht. Hoe jij dat zo zag dan, hoe jij je gedroeg. Nee, voor jou was er nooit iemand genoeg. Jij was het speciaals, deed nog nooit iets verkeerd. Met gesloten ogen bekeek ik het weer. Hoe ik toen een meisje was, jij een vreselijke droom. Had mezelf het gezegd en mezelf het beloofd. Had het afgesloten, weg met verdriet. En ik zou het vergeten, maar het lukt me weer niet. Want de pijn die blijft, het zit dieper dan dat. Ik zou een moord doen, zodat ik je woorden vergat. Want dat klote gevoel dat toen is ontstaan, dat gaat nooit meer weg. En dat heb jij gedaan. Gisteren kwam er een besef. Jij duwde iedereen ver van me weg. En dingen die jij tegen me zei dat vrienden me haatten, maar jij hield van mij. Je uitspraken waren zo goed als gestoord. Vooral met een slok op, dan draaide je door. Nu makkelijk praten had weg moeten gaan, maar graag had ik nog zoveel anders gedaan. Hoe ik toen een meisje was, jij een vreselijke droom. Had mezelf het gezegd en mezelf het beloofd. Had het afgesloten, weg met verdriet. En ik zou het vergeten, maar het lukt me weer niet. Want de pijn die blijft, het zit dieper dan dat. Ik zou een moord doen, zodat ik je woorden vergat. Want dat klote gevoel dat toen is ontstaan, dat gaat nooit meer weg. En dat heb jij gedaan. Je hebt me beschadigd met de pijn van je verzopen daden. En zo heb je me achtergelaten. Lijkt als ik heb je dat in de gaten. Je hebt me beschadigd met de pijn van je verzopen daden. En zo heb je me. Ik heb je dat in de gaten.
I'm afraid that's all we have time for this week's folks. I hope you've enjoyed the program. Coming up next is Don't Get It Twisted with presenter Hayley J, so I hope you'll stay tuned. If you want to get in contact with Europe Today, give us a ring on 865-8020, that's 865-8020, or you can text us on 087-977-1032. That's 087-977-1032. Join us again here on 103.2 Dublin City FM at the same time next week and your programme Europe Today.